Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, we are looking at the story that Kelly told us about. Thank you, Kelly, about the transfiguration of Jesus. Mark tells the story. Matthew tells the story. This year, I would like for us to hear from Luke's version of what happened on that mountain. So chapter 9 is the chapter, verses 28 through 36. Listen for the word of God. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. That's a problem for these disciples. You may notice that. They're weighed down with sleep, but this time they stayed awake and so that they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered that cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found to be alone, and they kept silent. And in those days, told no one any of the things that they had seen. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, open our hearts and our minds to the power of your Spirit. Speak to us once again this message of transfiguration, what's happening up on that mountain. We pray a strong blessing upon this word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as promised, I would like to invite you to go with me to a mountaintop kind of moment. Is that okay?
Okay.
Yeah. The one that I'm thinking about happened several years ago, so long ago that our children weren't yet born. So, I mean, I got a 24-year-old daughter, so this happened years ago. And the mountaintop experience I'm talking about today actually happened on a mountain. They don't all happen on mountains, but this one certainly did. Susie, her mother, and I flew to Colorado to spend a week with Susie's brother, Sam. Sam spent winters in Colorado. Can you imagine this? Winters in Colorado, where he drove a school bus from ski lift to ski lift in the snow. That was his winter job. In the summer, he worked in Alaska. He had a college degree. He was trying to discover who he was going to be, and he did. In the beautiful terrain of Colorado and Alaska, he fell in love with taking pictures and now works for Belmont University in Nashville as their photographer. This week in Colorado probably was spring break week, and it's one of the best weeks I can remember. 7 days we were there. I did not worry about anything that happened at the church. Nothing. For 7 days, I slept in, and I ate breakfast and drank good coffee, and I saw the sunrise and the sunset. Now, I need for you to know, I didn't go to Colorado to ski. I made a deal with God back when I led a youth retreat during my days in Fordyce when we went to Cressy Butte, Colorado. I promised God that if he'd get me off those skis, I'd never get on another pair. I have kept my promise to this day. But I love being up there on those mountains, watching the sunrise and the sunset in the middle of the week. Thanks to my mother-in-law, Sally Simpkins, she paid for us to go on a snowmobile ride, a tour. It was a really cool thing. Our God led us here and there, and we got to this open field, and his instructions were these. Let her rip. You can just imagine how great that was. One of the places we passed by on our tour was this, I'm going to call it a chapel more than a church. It had a stained glass window in the front, and it had snow on the top of the roof. It looked like a postcard to me. And I wondered, do they need a pastor? Now, I'll admit, I don't like winter when I have to be in charge of things, but I don't mind winter when it's just, you know, enjoying being out in it like that, right? On our last day before we flew home to Arkansas, and Susie's mom to Tennessee, we rode a ski lift up half a mountain. And then we caught a tram and went up to the rest of the mountain. At the top of that mountain, there was a restaurant, and it was glorious. It was majestic. If you can imagine being that high up and seeing God's creation. It was powerful. There came a warning, an announcement, 30 minutes out, the last tram is about to leave the mountain. If you're not on it, you're stuck up here tonight. And then I wondered, what's so bad about that? Right? What's so bad about being stuck up on this mountain? Stephen Curtis Chapman, you know him, probably a contemporary Christian artist, sings a song about being on a mountain. You'll be grateful that I'm not going to sing this morning, that I'm just going to read the lyrics. I want to build a house up on this mountain, way up high where peaceful waters flow to quench my thirsty soul up on the mountain. He sings, my faith is strengthened by all that I see. You make it easy for me to believe up on this mountain. A mountaintop experience. I often wonder, did Peter, did James, did John feel the same way I felt when Jesus suggested a retreat on the mountain? It is really a prayer retreat. That's the reason Jesus went up there. The scripture tells us about 8 days after Jesus had said this, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went onto the mountain to pray. 8 days. So I wondered what happened 8 days before, so I looked it up, and you'll know what it was. Of course, Jesus was near Caesarea Philippi, and he turned back to his disciples, and he said, what's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? And they answer, well, some say that you are Elijah, brought back to life, or you are Moses, or one of the great prophets. And then Jesus asked a deeper question, a harder question. He asked this question of you and me every day, who do you say that I am? And Peter has his best disciple moment. It's fleeting, but he has it. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right. You've got it. And then he predicts for the first time of three that he will be arrested, that he will be tried, that he will be crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. And Peter says, hey, Jesus, come over here. Let me talk to you in private a minute. And he says, this shall never happen. You see, the problem is Jesus didn't fit into his expectations of a Messiah, or anyone else's for that matter. And Jesus rebukes him, and that sets the scene for the mountaintop moment. 8 days later, Peter, James, John, and Jesus all get away to pray. And while he was praying, the scripture says, his appearance changed. His face changed. His clothes became dazzling white. Here's more. He's there with two Old Testament heroes, Moses and Elijah, talking with each other, talking about what is to come in Jerusalem. Luke tells us that they were weighed down with sleep. Luckily, this time, they stayed awake. So they saw his glory, and they saw his face, and they saw Moses, and they saw Elijah, and they saw his dazzling clothes. Can I say, I think I can, it was a mountaintop moment for Peter, for James, for John, and even for Jesus, I think. And when Moses and Elijah leave the scene, Peter says, "Master, it's good for us to be here." Now, this is the New Revised John Version. Let's build a retreat center up here. A cabin for you, a cabin for Moses, a cabin for Elijah. And hey, why not? One for me and James and John too. Let's stay up here. Let's get this feeling going. Luke is clear to say to us, look, he didn't know what he was saying. But I think Peter knew what he was feeling, don't you? It felt good to be on that mountain. It felt good to not hear any more talk about death. It felt good for the controversies of Jesus' life, the scribes, the Pharisees, the testing, the arrest, all that, to be far down in the valley, not up there on the mountain. But down there in the valley is where Jesus needed to be, among the people who needed him the most. Story's not over. There's a cloud, and it encompassed them, kind of like we would a fog, right? And a voice speaks out of that cloud, and it says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." It's not the first time God has spoken out of a cloud, but it is the first time that Peter, James, and John would have heard it. Back as he comes up out of the baptismal waters, God speaks. And Luke would have you believe that only Jesus hears. "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I'm well pleased." This is a turning point in the gospel of Luke. Jesus is turning towards Jerusalem. And I'm here to tell you today that as we go with him to Jerusalem, we would do well to listen to him and what he says. Now, mountaintop moments are great, but I've never had one that lasted for years. Mountaintop moments happen in moments, and they're fleeting, and they're over. Otherwise, we just call them moments, right? I want you to hear this. The most important moments of Jesus' ministry are not behind him. The most important moments of Jesus' ministry are in front of him. A retreat center would be nice, but staying on a mountain isn't what Jesus came to do. He came to go to a hill, not a mountain. You remember that hill? We'll think about that hill in just a few weeks. No one lingered on that hill, on that mountain, for very long. So it's time for us to leave this mountain and to go down into the valley. And if you read the scriptures, they'll tell you that as soon as they got down there, Jesus healed someone who was possessed. Along the way, we need to listen to Jesus as we make our way to Jerusalem with him. Let's pray.